Okay, looks like it's official. Good morning, everybody. It is, for the record, June 30th, 2025, 9 o'clock a.m. I'm Phil Albrecht, City Hearing Examiner for the City of Kirkland. This morning, holding a hearing on an administrative appeal, DRB 24-00906, on a design review board decision. Looks like we have the requisite room full of attorneys to handle this one. I think Ms. Kroll, the city attorney, is here with us. And who's Mr. Eckert here today? Okay. Eckert. On behalf of the applicant, Mr. Heaney, you're here on behalf of the appellant. Is that correct? Okay. All right. So I think the parties have already had the pre-hearing order. They know what the order of presentation is. We start off with the staff presentation of evidence, then the appellant gets to go, then the applicant, and then there's a city rebuttal, and then appellant rebuttal. Also, there's optional opening comments. If the parties want to make any opening comments this morning before we jump in, or
if I may, just a short comment.
Okay, all right. Ms. Kroll, did you want to do one on behalf of the city first? Or, and let me ask too, are there any other preliminary matters before we jump into it? Or I think it's pretty straightforward, right? We got one issue to deal with today, and that's pretty much it. Yeah.
The city has no opening comments.
Okay, all right. Yeah, Mr. Heaney, do you want to say anything?
Yeah, briefly.
Okay.
I prefer me to stand or sit. I think to Mike, I have to sit. So we're here today we're asking you to fix the design review board's mistake. They made the really odd choice to approve a design that didn't have any commercial or retail square footage. And it'd be the only one on 85th, all the way from Lake Street down to 132nd. There's not a property that doesn't have a square foot of commercial. Now, you asked us in your pre-hearing order to focus on the issue of how this has been interpreted in the past, how the design guide that's been interpreted. My understanding and what I expect the testimony to be is that they haven't. They're new, so they haven't had the opportunity to interpret it yet. So the issue today is their present interpretation, which effectively sets aside the design guidelines. That, you know, it doesn't matter that the guidelines say active storefronts, or that the goal here is to create mixed-use developments, that the developer can come in and they can build this purely residential development right on 85th, right on the frontage of 85th. And that's unreasonable. That's an unreasonable interpretation of the design guidelines. A reasonable interpretation requires effect to be given to all the guidelines. So when it says active storefronts, provide storefronts, it means you actually have to provide storefronts and have active storefronts. When it says mixed use, a reasonable interpretation would be that the developments are mixed use. And I don't think there's any question that this one isn't. So, you know, given these guidelines, what I expect the testimony to be today, we're asking you to fix the city's mistake and to require a long 85th frontage commercial uses on the ground floor.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Heaney. Mr. Eckert?
Thank you. Jeremy Eckert, Tharsis Law, on behalf of the applicant, Main Street Property Group. Examiner, we're down to two items today, I believe. One is the design guideline on page 21. And the second issue that we'd like to address is that contemplated condition. As a preliminary matter, though, we'd like to just file a standing, if it's okay with the examiner, I'd like to file just a standing objection. In the appeal, there was a complaint about not enough commercial, but the appeal did not mention the design guideline on page 21. And my understanding when you read the code is that they should not be able to bring this appeal for the design guideline on page 21. So I don't want to object every time we talk about that, but I just like, for the record, file that objection. Now, substantively, there's nothing to interpret in the design guidelines. The design guideline on page 21 is inapplicable because it only applies to frontages where the frontages label active use retail. And what you'll hear and what you saw in the staff report, staff declaration, and what you'll hear today is that the applicant did not choose the active use retail frontage. They chose the urban edge frontage. So that design guideline on page 21 is entirely inapplicable. Does not apply. Only would apply if the applicant chose active use retail. Now, moving from that to the condition, we filed a motion for reconsideration because the desired condition is just unworkable for the applicant, Main Street, and it creates a host of issues for the city. The city joined us in having issues with that concern. But we understand the hearing examiner's concern, and so what Main Street voluntarily decided to do was to agree to a stipulation in Superior Court that I've sent to all the parties here. And then in response to the appellant's concern, we revised that stipulation so that it would run with the land. I don't want to speak for my counterpart here, but I believe all parties are okay with the proposed stipulation. So what we would ask is the hearing examiner strike the proposed condition and that my client Main Street enter that stipulation in Superior Court.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Eckert. All right, back to Ms. Kroll. Actually, let's deal with the exhibits real quick from the city. I know the city has prepared a staff report with five enclosures. I'm assuming that all parties have received a copy of that. And the city also recently filed a declaration. I think, is that all of the exhibits the city is intending to present today? Okay, do any of the parties have any objections over any of those documents coming to the record? All right, so we'll then enter the June 30th, 2025 staff report along with its five attachments, as well as the declaration prepared by Tony Levitt as city exhibits admitted into the record. So Ms. Kroll, go ahead.
The city would like to ask senior planner Tony Levitt to present the staff report.
Okay, great. And Mr. Levitt, let me swear you in. Just raise your right hand. You swear firm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Thank you. All right. Again, we are here to for consideration of the Rose Hill Townhomes appeal. So I'll briefly go over what the appeal is claiming and then staff's response that we have outlined in the staff advisory report. So first, the appellant claims that the plans are unlikely to promote commercial activity and do not appropriately promote an increasingly pedestrian-friendly area, and the project must have commercial uses on the street-level floor of the townhome units. The appellant references the Bloom mixed-use project to the east of the subject property as an example of a successful commercial space. The appellants are incorrect in claiming that the street level floor of the townhome units must contain commercial use. This is not a requirement of the neighborhood mixed use NMU regulating district, which is the subject property is zoned, or the design guidelines. Permitted uses allowed in the NMU district include commercial, institutional, and residential. There is no requirement for street level commercial use in this particular zone. I have highlighted the two, on those two maps, the subject properties there. As far as the frontage types are concerned, the station area designates Northeast 85th as a major thoroughfare. With that, there are three frontage types that the applicant can choose from for this type of thoroughfare. They include a urban street edge, a retail and active use, or plaza public space. In this particular case, along Northeast 85th Street, the applicant proposed an urban street edge frontage. Kirkland Zoning Code Section 5720.040.01 states the intent and character of this urban street edge is intended to establish a public realm consistent with a walkable, mixed-use environment. Characteristics include buildings set close to the public right-of-way, pedestrian-oriented facades, and landscaping that contributes to an urban environment. There is no requirement for active uses within a urban street edge frontage. Such active uses would include retail, civic, or public-facing uses. As part of the design response conference application, the applicant submitted a zoning analysis that showed compliance with the ground floor design entry and public realm requirements for the urban street edge frontage standards. Compliance with these standards will be confirmed as part of the building permit process. I'm sorry, I skipped ahead there. As part of the appeal, the appellants do mention the Bloom mixed-use project that is located east of the subject property at 13110 Northeast 85th Street. I've highlighted the subject property in blue in the map there as an example of the successful commercial space. The difference is that this property is located within the Rose Hill Business District 8 zoning district, and there is a requirement for ground floor commercial, retail, or office along 60% of the Northeast 85th frontage. Again, this is not a requirement of the NMU zone. Also in the hearing examiner's motion dismissed, there is discussion of a design guideline that states the following design treatments should apply to areas where retail and active use frontages occur. Again, this section continues with requirements for storefront, entrance, transparency, and weather protection. As part of the proposed project, the applicant is not proposing a retail and active use frontage along Northeast 85th Street, so these guidelines do not apply. Additionally, the hearing examiner requested evidence on how the city has applied the design guidelines on uses issues in the past, and will likely be determination of whether the guideline as issue requires commercial use. In response to the hearing examiner's request, staff would highlight Kirkland Zoning Code Section 1.05, Step 5, that outlines the process for determining permitted uses in a specific zone and the required review process for allowing a permitted use. In this case, the NMU zone permits a residential use, and there is no restriction for residential use at the street level. This is the city's first project within the NMU zone, and the city is following the plain language of code and not past precedent. Per Kirkland Zoning Code Section 50.050, the required review process is Design Review Board review. The DRB review DRB reviews projects for compliance with applicable design guidelines, minor variations to the zoning code development standards if requested by the applicant, and specific zoning regulations that require DRB approval. In the NMU regulating district, use is not a zoning regulation subject to DRB review. In conclusion, staff is recommending that the hearing examiner uphold the April 11, 2025 decision by the DRB, which was to approve the application with conditions outlined in their approval.
Okay. Ms. Kroll, any questions of your witness? All right. Mr. Eckert, any questions?
Yes, thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
When you say approval with conditions, mm-hmm. are you recommending just approval with the conditions imposed by the Design Review Board?
Yes, that would just be the conditions that, the DRB approved the application subject to the conditions outlined in their approval.
Does the city have any position on the condition contemplated by the hearing examiner in his motion to dismiss?
As far as the
condition to pose injunctive relief on the project.
Yeah, we did have a recommendation on that. We didn't think that was appropriate just based on past precedent and that it being a issue that is obviously a civil issue that the city is not involved in.
So, thank you.
Yeah.
And so is it fair to say then that no code or no design guideline requires commercial at this project site?
Correct.
No further questions.
Okay, Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Mr. Levitt. Good morning.
Morning.
Can you just briefly walk me through your history with the City of Kirkland?
Yes, I've been with the City of Kirkland for 24 years. I've done design review projects for about 19 years.
Were you with any cities before that?
No, I got hired here right out of the University of Washington. So,
are you pretty familiar with the City of Kirkland's Northeast 85th sub-area design guidelines?
Yes, actually, with this project. So this was one of our, it is our first project that has gone through this plan.
Would you agree that the intent of those guidelines is to create a mixed-use walkable city environment?
I would say that the intent is to create kind of a mixed-use environment and including... there's a plan for a lot of office in the area, a lot of commercial and a lot of residential. So there's a lot of different uses that it was intended for the station area plan.
I'm going to hand you a binder, which has everybody's exhibits, but I'm not going to ask you about all that.
Okay.
If you can go to Appellant's Exhibit 1. It's the first Exhibit 1.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Appellant's Exhibit 1. So there's, it's binder starts with Appellant's Exhibits. There's five, and then the next set of exhibits are the applicant's.
Okay. Is this the...
And I'm going to direct you to attachment 2 of Appellant's Exhibit 1. And it's page 15 of attachment 2. So in the bottom right-hand corner, it says page 15.
Okay.
It's not actually page 15. You have an extra binder if Mr. needs one.
The sitting has a question, Mr. Haney. Sure. Did you submit these electronically to the hearing examiner in the city?
Yes.
Okay, so the city should have these?
They should.
Okay. Was that an email to me?
Yeah, it would have been an email from Ms. Kelly Chapman.
Okay.
Okay. So this page, please.
And if I may, just I'm playing the home game just to make sure we're on the same page. This is page 15 of Dowland's Design Review Board recommendation that starts, says guidelines and responses on the left side, right side.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Levitt, have you seen these before?
Yes, I have. Yes.
What's the guidelines column on the left?
The guidelines, site planning guidelines.
Yeah, what do the guidelines represent? You know where they come from?
The guidelines, these were drafted as part of the station area plan. Obviously, the guidelines are to for the design review board to review projects.
Are these, is the city required to follow these guidelines?
Yes. Yeah, the project is required. Basically, the DRB will review a project for compliance with these guidelines.
You see the second bullet point under the first section called streetscape.
Mm-hmm.
Does use design elements such as separate storefronts?
Right. So under public spaces, plazas?
No, under streetscape.
Oh, streetscape. Okay. Yes. I'm sorry. Okay.
And my question to you is, are there any separate storefronts in this project?
No.
Yeah, and Mr. Heaney, again, what page is this again in the exhibits? I'm sorry, I just couldn't.
It's page 15 of attachment 2 to exhibit 1, and the exact page number, but it on the bottom right of the page, it says page 15.
Okay, all right, thank you.
I also haven't printed out, if that would help.
All right, I got it. Thank you.
Mr. Levitt, what's the responses column? What does that represent?
That is the applicant's response to those guidelines as part of the packet that they submitted.
In your experience, is it generally a one-to-one? You know, bullet point one is going to respond to guideline bullet point one?
Yeah, I would think so.
You see the response bullet point 2 under mm-hmm. the first section, streets. Mm-hmm. The first clause reads, the project includes separate storefronts. What does the city do with that information? The response says it includes separate storefronts. The city's guideline says to include storefronts. How does the city interpret that?
Well, that would be up to the DRB to look at that as part of their review of the application and ask the applicant's questions regarding that as part of their deliberations.
So if the guideline says to include storefronts, if the applicant said they're including storefronts, what's the design review board supposed to do with information when it doesn't include storefronts?
Well, I guess they would ask the applicant what's the intent of the design of the thing, because it also, I mean, so the guideline does say use design elements such as separate storefronts, pedestrian-oriented signs, exterior lighting, awnings, and overhangs to add interest and give human dimension to street-level building facades. So there's kind of a list of things that the guideline is looking to have there The question would be whether or not that's a requirement or not. Typically, it would be something that the design review board would look at and ask the applicant of the intent of their design and how they feel they've met that design requirement.
So the guidelines are requirements, or they're things for the DRB to discuss?
I think they're guidelines. The intent is for gives the board the ability to look at the design and see whether or not the project meets the intent of those guidelines. And it's to give the DRB and the applicant some flexibility when we're looking at the design.
Now going down to the second section, public spaces. Can you read the third bullet point into the record?
Mr. Haney, can you read what page you're on now?
It's page 15 of the plans, which is attachment 2 to appellant's exhibit 1.
Attachment 2 to exhibit 1. Thank you.
So bullet 3 under the guidelines, under public spaces, plazas, courtyards, terraces, and gardens, says provide storefronts, street vendors, or other pedestrian uses to the extent possible around the perimeter of the plaza.
Is there a plaza in this design?
So the applicant, as part of their, within the street frontages, there is a plaza street frontage. In this case, as part of the urban street edge, there is basically a common or open space area requirements at the corner. And so that's what they are in this case calling a plaza. There's also a plaza area that is located in the northwest corner as well, that was also discussed by the DRB.
You said that's something that they discussed. Who do you mean when you say they?
The DRB and the applicant, as part of the project. So they were calling those spaces, as part of their design, they were calling those spaces plazas.
Would those qualify for this set of guidelines, section 2?
So again, these would be something the DRB would be looking for as far as the design of the plazas, and again, providing them with some guidance on what those plaza areas should look like and be designed for.
Can you go back to the response, bullet point 3, response column, sorry, bullet point 3, section 2. The applicant says storefronts are adjacent to the perimeter of the plaza. You see that?
Yes, I am.
What do you make of that when the applicant says there are storefronts around the perimeter, but as we discussed, there aren't?
Objection. Question is vague. I'm not sure what do you make of that means.
Can you clarify, Mr. Heaney?
What's the design review board supposed to do when the applicant says there are storefronts around the perimeter of the plaza and there's not?
So that would be something that, as part of their review, they would have asked the applicant, what they were intending for around the plaza. I know there was some discussion on this project because of there's some topography changes. Also, you've got the side of the building, and there's also there's no requirement in this particular zone to have ground floor commercial. So there was some discussion about the design of the plaza and kind of the adjacent areas that were next to that from the building's perspective. So.
Let's move to page 19 of attachment 2. So pages forward. Do these guidelines on the left come from the same place as the last guidelines?
Yes.
You see the third bullet point down? Can you read that in the record? It's indented.
Okay. Yeah. So encourage all buildings located at or near street corner to incorporate special architectural elements that add visual interest and provide a sense of human proportion and scale. This could include a raised roofline, turret, corner balconies, bay windows, special awning, or canopy design, or in distinctive use of materials.
I think that's my fault. I meant the second indented
before. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Encourage.
It starts with incorporate.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Incorporates, well, I'll read the entire guideline. The street corners along Northeast 85th Street, which within the district provide special opportunities for visual punctuation and enhanced pedestrian environment. They should include the following considerations. Encourage design treatments that emphasize street corners through the use of building location and design plaza spaces, landscaping, distinctive architecture features, and or signage. Incorporate storefronts directly at 124th, 126th, and 128th street corners to reinforce the desired pedestrian-oriented character of the district.
Is this development on the corner of 128th?
Yes, it is.
Did the applicant incorporate storefronts on the corner of 128th?
No, they did not.
Design Review Board didn't require it?
No, they did not.
The last thing I want to ask you about are these frontages. You had said the applicant chose the urban street edge frontage. Can you, at a really high level, walk me through the difference between that frontage and the active retail frontage?
I don't have it. Let me see if I have that in my presentation.
And just key differences. I'm not going to ask.
Yeah. I mean, I would, if you wouldn't mind, I could go back to my desk right there and I have it pulled up on my computer.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So actually, as part of the staff advisory report, I included enclosure 5, which talks about the basically is the chapter 57 stationary plan form-based code requirements. Let's see here. And so as far as the street frontages are concerned, okay, so page 280 has definitions of the frontage types.
Does everyone have that pulled up yet? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so the urban street edge frontage says this frontage type is intended to establish a public realm consistent with walkable mixed use environment. Characteristics include buildings set close to the public sidewalk, pedestrian-oriented facades, and landscaping that contributes to an urban environment. The active retail use frontage type says this frontage type is intended to foster a dynamic public realm anchored by active uses on the street level floor, including retail, institutional, or other public-facing uses.
Would you agree the active retail frontage better promotes a goal of a mixed-use development than the urban street edge?
Objection, calls for speculation.
Okay. Based on just the definitions, the active retail use, obviously, because it states that it is anchored by active uses on the street level floor, it would lead to a better, active street level.
Could the design review board have required a different frontage?
No, I don't think they could have, because it is up to the applicant to choose what street frontage that they want to apply to a particular facade.
I have no more questions for Mr. Levin.
No, I'll let Mr. Eckert ask questions.
A few questions, and if Staff could bring up my PowerPoint slide. I have a few slides to help us walk through this.
Mr. Hearing Examiner, is there any objection if the witness stays at his seat to Thank you.
Mr. Leavitt, what I'll do is I'll speak to you from the back of my head. Right, so what I have here, just to orient everyone, is I have selected slides and I brought copies for everyone to play along. So all right. Let me know when I'm ready to ride here. Okay. So what I'm doing now is I'm turning to Respondent Exhibit 17, which is the form-based code, and that is listed on page 12 of the packet that I just handed you. So, Mr. Leavitt, can you just briefly describe what we're looking at here?
Yeah, this is Kirkland Zoning Code 5720.020, which talks about the applicability of the street frontage requirements.
Okay, great. And for the proposal here, which fronts 85th, mm-hmm. What frontage types may the applicant choose from?
So the options were they could choose for between the urban street edge, the active use retail, or the plaza public space along Northeast 85th.
Okay, and which frontage type did the applicant choose?
Urban street edge.
Thank you. So just to be clear, they did not choose active use retail?
Correct.
And they did not choose public plaza public space, correct?
Correct.
Great. Now, would you agree that the design review guidelines need to be read as a whole? I mean, you can't just pick and choose a sentence.
Yes, it should be something that's reviewed as a whole.
And would you agree that the board needs to apply the design guidelines as they are in the design guideline packet?
Correct, yes.
So in other words, if there's a discrepancy between what you see in design review board packet here, for example, page 19 that Mr. Haney was just referencing to you to, if there was a discrepancy between what was identified as a design guideline in the packet versus what's in the actual design guidelines, the actual design guidelines would control. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, two design guidelines came up. Let's walk through them. Right now, I'm on Respondent Exhibit 14, page 21. So if you're an examiner and Mr. Haney, just turn the page to page 13. This is page 21 of the design guidelines. And I'm going to zoom in on the issue that's the sole issue that's before us today. Mr. Leavitt, will you just please read this full design guideline out loud?
The following design treatments should apply to areas where retail and active use frontages occur, : street and public spaces should be enlivened by storefronts, windows, merchandising, and other activity. Along appropriate street types, buildings should be designed with frequent entrances to encourage multi-tenant occupancy and walk-in traffic.
Thank you. Now, does this design guideline apply at all to this proposal?
No, it would not, because they are not proposing a retail and active use.
Okay, so even if this design guideline appeared in the design packet before the board, is it applicable?
No.
Thank you. Moving along, there was issues about plazas. And there was a question here about public spaces, plazas, courtyards, terraces. And I can understand why appellant might be confused. If I turn the next page, the word a plaza appears in some of the plan sheets. So I'm right now on page 16 of the packet that I sent. And here I put it there, Respondent Exhibit 4, page 35 in the PDF. It What does it list the corner there as, Mr. Levitt?
Corner plaza entry signage.
Okay. Now, let's go back to the design guidelines on Respondent Exhibit 14, page 16. And here it says, in the relevant exhibit here, would you please read the top design review guideline at the top here?
Provide storefronts, street vendors, and or other pedestrian-oriented uses to the extent possible around the perimeter of the plaza.
Okay. Now, let me go back to the frontages. Now, isn't it true that the plaza design guideline only applies for the plaza and public space street frontage?
That would be my review of it, yes.
So that design guideline regarding plazas and storefronts or plazas and commercial activity, that's inapplicable here, correct?
Correct.
So just to be clear, in your professional opinion, applying the design guidelines, there is no design guideline that requires any commercial use of the property. Is that correct?
Correct.
No further questions.
None. Thank you.
The city calls no further witnesses.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Kroll. All right, well, let's move on at this point then to the appellant, Mr. Heen.
Just one, Mr. Albrecht. We'll call Ms. Lori Nickbard.
Okay. All right, I didn't quite catch your name for the record. What was
Lori Nickbard.
Oh, okay, Ms. Nickbard, let me swear in real quick. Just raise your right hand. You swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, great. All right, go ahead, Mr. Heen.
Nickbard, good morning. Thank you for being here. Can you briefly describe who you are, your relationship to this appeal, and your experience in the city of Kirkland?
Well, we own an apartment complex that shares a boundary, and we've been the neighbor there for 7-8 years, something like that. I went to Juanita High School. My husband went to Redmond High School. All three of my kids went to LDub. I consider Kirkland my home and Redmond. And and we care about the community and where it goes. And we're not planning on selling our property after it's developed. And I don't want the city to make a mistake.
Are you familiar with the applicant's designs?
Yes.
Is there anything odd about those designs to you?
Yeah, there's lots that's odd. I'm confused as to why there's 4,800 square feet of storefront or workspace. So I applied that thinking that meant that it was an office building. But then I keep on looking at all the plans, and that 4,800 square feet on 85th is no different than any of the square footage on any of the buildings except for the furthest southern building. They're all, say, fourth bedroom. So I think that while they've made the front look a little different than the side on 128th, you're going to basically have cobwebs at all those doors. People are going to pull in their garages. That'll be their office or guest bedroom or fourth bedroom for their family member. They're going to go upstairs, and that street's going to be dead, which is not what you want for 85th. There's nothing from 132nd to Lake Street. There's not one residential home that has, there's no residential living on the street front, none. And I've enjoyed taking my kids to the ice cream shop and Pagliacci's Pizza when it was there. And I think that Kirkland, it should be going in that direction. That it should be street frontage. You should have eyes on a street like that. It shouldn't be dead.
My last question, are you against the development, Ms. Nickbard?
No, I really want something to be developed there. It would be much better for us to have that project going. So when I show an apartment, I don't have people asking me all the time, oh, what's happening there? When will construction happen? Because that's an objection to rent my space because it looks like something's going to happen at any minute. And I also didn't like having all the homeless encampments and stuff on that property previously.
I have no more questions.
Yes. Good morning. Just
morning.
A few short questions,
Ms. Clifford.
Sure. Are you testifying here today as an expert witness?
No.
Okay. So you're just testifying as a concerned neighbor next door?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you mentioned some concerns about commercial activity on 85th. Did you talk to the city staff about your concerns?
Yes.
And did they agree with you?
They said, they kept on saying that unfortunately things were written that we didn't write it that way. That's how it's happening this way.
Okay. So you're just concerned about the application of the code as written?
Yeah, I'm concerned about the longevity of the city of Kirkland.
No further questions. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Thank you for coming.
Uh-huh.
You're testifying here today, is my understanding, about what you would like the street frontage to look like. Is that correct?
Just that it continues to grow in the right direction, yeah.
All right. And
what I thought was being represented.
All right. But you understand that pursuant to the way the code is written, that they are developing that in compliance with the code.
That's what Tony.
Legal conclusion.
Do you believe that the city must require the developer to put in storefronts?
Same objection.
I think that the city should make sure that it's written to what their intent is. And I think that if you read the guidelines, that's the intent. When I read incorporate an active storefront, incorporate, I think that that's their intent. I think that some of the people that I spoke to at the city felt like it was a mistake.
Do you know who that was?
I spoke with Tony and Ryan. And another gal.
All right.
I can't recall.
Okay, but did anyone tell you that your interpretation was correct?
No, I was asking questions from them. I'm not an expert.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks again.
No questions.
Rebuttal. Mr. and Ms. Carroll, any objections?
No objections from the city.
No objection. Okay, so they're all admitted. I should also disclose I did the obligatory site visit today, and everything looks the same as it does in the pictures of the record, pretty much. So confirm that. So anyway, Mr. Heaney, any other witnesses today? I think that was your only, you said?
Okay. No witnesses.
All right. Let's move on to Mr. Eckert.
All right. Thank you. We would like to call Sean Whitaker.
Okay. Well, let's get to your exhibits in real quick as well. Any objections over Mr. Eckert's exhibits as identified in his witness and exhibit list and rebuttal list? Ms. Kroll?
None from the city.
Okay, Mr. Heaney?
There are probably half relate to the easement issue, which you've dismissed and aren't relevant any longer.
Okay. Well, and let's see, on the easement issue, I take it just for the record, so the parties have agreed there's no objection to the stipulated settlement of that issue, I guess, which is a superior court condition, I believe. Is
correct. What
you're, okay. Is that correct, Mr. Heaney, Ms. Eckert, Ms. Kroll? Okay. No objections to that, resolving that issue. So I'll go ahead, and that's the way I'll impose the condition. So
thank you.
Thank you.
And also admit Mr. Eckert's exhibits as identified in his list. So thank all right, you. Go ahead, Mr. Eckert.
All right. Mr. Whitaker, please state and spell your name for the record.
Sean Whitaker, SEANWHITACRE.
Okay, Mr. Whitaker, let me swear you in. Just raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, great. All right.
Thank you. Sean, please, where do you work?
I work for an architecture firm called Dahlin Group.
And please describe your credentials.
I'm a managing principal at Dahlin Group. I'm a licensed architect, been working there 21 years, and I lead our multifamily market sector.
Thank you. How many years have you been in the field?
21.
Thank you. And what was your role in this proposal?
So I led a team of architects and designers within Dahlin. We also coordinated with the civil engineer, landscape architect, and the development team.
And how many projects have you worked on in the city of Kirkland?
We've completed five.
Great. Let's talk about this proposal's background right now. What did you do to prepare for this particular proposal?
So we learned about the station area plan. We read the form-based code. We read the design regulations. We discussed it as a team. We asked questions to the city. And then we prepared a compliant design package.
How would you characterize the station area plan?
I'd say the station area plan is focused on transit-oriented growth, and it emphasizes the need for housing, the housing crisis, and especially affordable housing.
Thank you. And does it also encourage commercial activity and office activity as well?
It does. It encourages a mixed-use character.
But does every project need to provide housing, office?
I would say the nature of mixed use is that different projects provide different uses.
Thank you. So how many design review board meetings did you participate in?
Two design review board meetings and then one conceptual conference.
So you were before the board three times?
Three times, yes.
Okay. And did you follow the design review board's direction?
We did. Okay.
Now, what I'd like to do is just to get us all oriented to the site, and if I could ask staff to go back to my slides, please. All right, thank you. Now, before we get to this slide here, Mr. Whitaker, could you just briefly describe the proposal?
So we proposed 89 townhomes. 9 of those are affordable. We proposed flexible space along 85th Street, and we included an enhanced corner feature in the northeast corner. That is 2,000 square feet of outdoor space, where only 300 square feet was required. We talked quite a bit with the review board about that enhanced outdoor space.
Thank you. So let's just do a quick walk around the site here. And right now I'm looking at Respondent Exhibit 6. Could you please describe what we see here?
Yeah, so we see 85th Street, we see 128th Avenue, we see the project site with an existing building, rough grading, and to the south we see the Rosecrest Apartments project.
And the next slide here. There we go. Respondent Exhibit 11, can you please describe what we see here?
This is a site plan that our firm produced, including a circulation diagram.
And what does it show?
It shows the 89 townhomes that I mentioned, the northern 12 units contain the flexible workspace. That northeastern corner shows our corner design feature. We also see the driveway to the south that's shared with the neighbor and the 30-foot easement.
Now I'm on Respondent Exhibit 4, page 13 in the PDF, which is in its page 3 in Attachment 2. This is attached to the city's decision that's on appeal. Mr. Whitaker, could you please describe what we're looking at here?
This is the northern elevation of the project. So this is the view from 85th Street.
Okay. And now I'm on Respondent Exhibit 4, page 14 of the PDF, page 4 of Attachment 2. What are we seeing here?
A perspective of the northwest corner of the proposed project.
Thank you. Now I'm on Respondent Exhibit 4, page 15 of the PDF, page 5 of Attachment 2. What do we see here?
This is a rendering along 128th Avenue.
And here I'm on Respondent Exhibit page, Exhibit 4, page 7, PDF, page 7 of Attachment 2. What do we see here?
This is a perspective from the southern side of the project.
Okay. And what was the underlying intent of the landscaping concept on the south?
Object to the relevance of the landscaping in relation to the easement issue that's dismissed.
Here, I'm trying to explain how the project works together. The design review board looked at everything, and it works as a whole.
Okay, I'll overrule. Go ahead.
So We included a landscape buffer as a visual screen. Was intended to meet the neighbor's requests.
Thank you. And here I have respondent exhibit 4, page 58 of the PDF, page 48 of attachment 2. What are we seeing here?
This is the southern elevation of one of the southern buildings. So that main elevation is the architecture on the south side of the project.
Okay, so this is the building that will be facing Rosecrest. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And then here I have a marked up illustrative exhibit. Exhibit 4, page 58, page 48. What does this show?
Yeah, this is a diagram of the anticipated growth of the landscape along that southern edge. So you can see the expected height by years. So when planted, 6 feet tall. After 3 to 5 years, 16 feet tall. And then at maturity, I believe that dimension is 26, 25, 26.
Thank you.
I'll just lodge a standing objection that this is irrelevant. I won't object again.
Okay. All right. So noted.
Okay, and then could you please, I'm looking at respondent exhibit 10. Could you please describe what we're looking at here?
Yeah, this is a series of design concepts. So it's an iterative process. The original at the top, the final at the bottom. So three concepts that we went through to address that southern edge.
Could you please describe what changed?
Yeah, so with the first one at the top, we had garages being accessed from that shared access road. So you'd have 11 garages and vehicles coming in and out along that shared road. The second exhibit shows those garages facing the north to an internal driveway. This would keep traffic off of the shared access road. It shows a sidewalk that allowed access to front doors of those townhomes. Then the third has neither the front doors nor the garages along the southern edge. It maximizes the landscape buffer.
Understood. And why did you make these changes?
In response to neighbors' requests.
Thank you. All right, here I'm at respondent exhibit 4, page 19 of PDF, and page 9 in attachment 2. Please describe what we're seeing here.
Yeah, this is the corner design feature that I mentioned. It was required to be 300 square feet. We made it 2,000 square feet and full of amenities.
Okay, could you just describe a little further?
Sure. So there's public art on the corner. There are planters, trees, enhanced paving. There's two access points, one by stair. One access point that would work for people with disabilities. There is a child's play feature. There's lighting, there's benches, and there's access to the rest of the property.
How many square feet of open space was required?
There was 300 square feet required for the corner design feature. We provided 2,000.
Thank you. Let's go on and talk about the form-based code and frontage types. So before I get to this sheet, which is a respondent exhibit 17 with a lot of text, let's just pull back up. Can you just describe layman's term, how the form-based code works? I'll keep it on the pretty slide, respondent exhibit 14, while you talk.
Thank you, yeah. Form-based codes are primarily focused on the way projects interact with public space. The primary public spaces are the streets. That's why we see street types defined and then appropriate frontages defined. So a big part of the form-based code is compliance with frontage type.
Thank you. And now I'm on respondent exhibit 17. What are you seeing in this exhibit?
We're seeing the five frontage types included in the form-based code.
Okay, and what frontage type did Main Street choose for the project?
We chose urban street edge.
Did you choose active use retail?
We did not choose active use retail.
Did you choose plaza public space?
We did not choose plaza public space.
Okay, so you mentioned earlier that you studied the design guidelines. Is every guideline in the 31-page design review packet applicable to this project?
No.
Okay. So now I'm on respondent exhibit 14, page 21. This is the design guideline that is the subject of this appeal. And what I'm going to ask you to do, I'm zooming in on it here, is read the section aloud.
The following design treatments should apply to areas where retail and active use frontages occur. Streets and public spaces should be enlivened by storefronts, windows, merchandise, and other activity. Along appropriate street types, buildings should be designed with frequent entrances to encourage multi-tenant occupancy and walk-in traffic.
Is this design guideline applicable to the project?
It is not.
When would this design guideline be applicable to a project in the station area?
If a project selected the retail and active use frontage, this guideline would be applicable.
Okay. And even if this design guideline appeared in your packet before the board, would it be applicable to your project?
It would not be applicable.
Okay, thank you. Did you read the hearing examiner's decision on the motion to dismiss?
I did.
Okay. Do you agree with the examiner that the proposal does not include a plaza?
I do.
Okay. I am on Respondent Exhibit 4, page 35 in PDF and page 25 in Attachment 2. Now, Mr. Whitaker, here it says there's a corner plaza. Why does your design packet use the term plaza?
We used common language. This was not intended to be a code requirement or add a code requirement to the project.
Okay. So here I'm on Respondent Exhibit page 14, Exhibit 14, page 16. And this is page 16 of the Design Review Guidelines. Tell me, what does this design guideline do?
This governs design or provides design guidance for plazas and other required outdoor features.
Okay. And I'm going to zoom in on the design guideline that was mentioned in the appellant's response to the motion to dismiss. Could you please, this is Respondent Exhibit 14, page 16. Could you please read the design guideline?
Provide storefronts, street vendors, or other pedestrian-oriented uses to the extent possible around the perimeter of the plaza.
Now, does this design guideline apply to your proposal?
It does not.
But let's just say hypothetically that it did. Would you satisfy this design guideline?
I feel that we do.
Why?
When I read the intent and the entire section that governs plazas and outdoor spaces, we comply with the intent and the guidelines.
Why?
So we provided enhanced glazing. We provided enhanced materials. We provided a number of pedestrian-oriented uses. Those are all outlined in the sheet with the rendering that we looked at earlier.
And for a quick moment, when you say sheet with the rendering, which exhibit are you referencing right now?
Yeah, thank you. Exhibit 4, page 19. We outline all the features and uses of the plaza. I think if you read the entire section on plaza and open space and then look at this example, it's a nice example of the intended guidelines around outdoor spaces.
Okay, so just to be, leave no doubt, the plaza design guideline, is it applicable or not applicable?
It's not applicable.
And even if it was, do you satisfy the guideline?
I believe we do.
Thank you. Does this proposal provide any commercial space?
It does not.
Okay, and are you aware of any requirement in the code or design guideline that require the proposal to provide commercial space?
I'm clear that the code does not require us to provide commercial space.
Okay, now there's some confusion before the design review board, and I wanted to clear this all up as well, and for the appellant. Can you tell me, as we're looking at, I'm on Respondent Exhibit 4, page 19, which shows the plaza. And as we're looking down the sidewalk, which way are we looking down the sidewalk?
So we're looking from east to west along the 85th Street frontage.
Thank you. And what is on the main floor of this 85th Street frontage?
These are the flexible spaces that we've been describing.
Is this commonly called live workspace? Is that how the design review board discussed it?
Yes, we discussed it as live workspace.
And what are the characteristics of a live workspace?
So it's tall by requirement. It's 15 feet from floor to floor. It includes a minimum glazing requirement, so it has to have at least 50% glazing along the frontage. It includes weather protection, lighting, signage, all the things that we identified in our design.
Understood. Is the live-work use classified as a residential use or commercial use under the code?
I believe it's a residential use.
That's correct. Okay. And did the board review the live-work spaces?
We discussed the live-work spaces with the board.
Thank you. And how many square feet of live-work space is provided along 85th?
4,800.
All right, so I just want to wrap this up. In your professional opinion, does the proposal comply with all applicable design guidelines?
Yes.
In your professional opinion, does the proposal need to provide any commercial space?
No.
In your professional opinion, is the guideline regarding storefronts on page 21 applicable to this proposal? I'll bring it up for you.
Yeah, please.
So I'm going to respond to exhibit 14, page 21.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
And why not?
Because we did not select the retail and active use frontage type.
Okay. In your professional opinion, is the guideline regarding plazas on page 16 applicable to this proposal?
It is not.
And in your professional opinion, would the proposal comply with the guideline regarding plazas on page 16, even if it was applicable?
Yes.
No further questions.
Okay. Ms. Kroll, any questions? All right, Mr. Heaney.
Just a few. You mentioned you've worked on five projects in the city of Kirkland.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, at a really high level, just describe where they were and what they were for, what the projects were?
Sure. So the most recent was the Pine. That was a residential project with 140 units on 116th. The first project we did was called Slater. That was a mixed-use project with apartments and commercial space. We've done a couple of large townhome projects, and we did a project that ended up being sold. It was another apartment project.
Were any of them right on 85th?
No.
I want to talk about the flexible space, the residential flexible space. Is that a design concept you've used before?
Yes.
On a project that's completed and occupied?
Yes.
Do you know how that space is currently being used?
Yes.
How is it currently being used?
Primarily as residential space.
Is that binder of exhibit still in front of you?
It is.
Can you go to Appellant's Exhibit 1? It's the first Exhibit 1. It may still be open. I want to go to Attachment 2, which is the plans. Page 30.
Yeah, I think I'm there.
What does this page depict? Or let me take a step back. Were you involved in drafting these plans?
I was.
What does this page depict?
So this is the floor plan, including the ground level of a building that would occur along 85th Street.
And where's this flexible space on the plans?
It's labeled as bedroom 4 in this plan.
I want to go back to page 15. Let me know when you're there.
I'm there.
Were you involved in drafting the responses column?
I was involved.
So why did the applicant in the second bullet point of the first section say the project includes separate storefronts?
So the design guidelines primarily govern the character of the architecture. I think the design review board was satisfied that we met the intended character. I don't think that the form-based code or the guidelines regulate use.
I understand that, but my question was, why would the applicant represent to the city that the project includes separate storefronts when it doesn't?
I think I just answered that.
Move on. You had a lot of testimony about plazas not applying to this project, right?
I did.
Why go through the effort of responding to all these guidelines if it doesn't apply?
I think we responded to the items that we were asked to respond to.
So when the applicant represented to the city the storefronts are adjacent to the perimeter of the plaza, you were just fulfilling an obligation to respond? You didn't address the substance of the response?
So there's a thing called a storefront window. That's very common. We generally have two window types. We have residential windows and storefront windows. So we're indicating that we'd have storefront windows along the
plaza. That's not plaza. What it is, doesn't.
Storefronts?
Storefronts. My last question is about the frontages. Why did the applicant choose urban street edge frontage instead of active and retail frontage?
It was the most fitting to our project.
How so?
It did not dictate the use.
So you chose it because it didn't require commercial space?
Correct. In part, correct. Yeah.
Okay, I have no more questions.
Okay, any redirect?
A few questions. Mr. Whitaker, you spent a lot of time before design review boards, correct?
Yes.
Please tell me about what it takes to work with a design review board.
Well, there's quite a bit of communication, especially with city staff.
Mm-hmm. So if a design review board asked to see something that potentially wasn't relevant, would you maybe show it to them anyway?
Good point. I wouldn't argue relevance if I didn't have to. I would comply.
Okay. And just to be clear, so when they said, hey, let's talk about storefronts, tell me, why did you put storefronts? Why did you discuss storefronts in your packet?
Because we were asked to. Yeah, we're responding to a comment.
And are the live-work units located immediately adjacent to the plaza? Excuse me, the open space?
They are.
Great. And do the design regulations provide any regulation for how the building is used after it's constructed here?
No.
Okay. So the store, so live-work units could be a residential use or a commercial use?
Precisely.
Great. So theoretically, you could have a commercial use right next to the open space?
Yes.
No further questions.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
I have one, if that's
okay. Oh, sure. Go ahead.
So if I understand your testimony correctly, you respond to these things even if you don't believe they're relevant, right?
I don't argue with design review boards if I don't have to.
Do you think it's okay to misrepresent facts to the design review board and respond to things that are relevant?
Objection. There's okay. Nothing in the record that says there's a misrepresentation here.
Responses say there's storefronts and there's not. That's a misrepresentation.
Okay. I'll overrule. Go ahead.
I don't think it's a good idea to misrepresent things.
Okay. Redirect. Nope. Okay. Thank you, sir, for your testimony. Much appreciated. Okay. And Mr. Levitt or Eckert, any other questions or witnesses? Sorry.
None.
Okay. Well, that makes it easy. Then I guess, let's see, we're on to, that is a rebuttal at this point from the city. Any rebuttal?
No rebuttal.
Okay. Mr. Heaney?
None for the appellant.
Oh, okay. Better yet. All right. I guess we're on to closing that at this point. So first would be the, let's see, I'm going to look up my pre-hearing order. I want to make sure I got that right. Where did that go? Let's say city first then. All right, go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. This city asked the hearing examiner to approve the project as approved by the design review board with the design review board conditions and to not add any conditions pursuant to the claim request by appellants. The design itself is in compliance with the code requirements. We've been through the code requirements. I suspect other parties here will summarize them for you again even. But the code requirements have been complied with. There are different statements in the design review conditions, excuse me, the guidelines that could have been incorporated into this project. For instance, overall, you saw a presentation that storefronts on the corner of 128th should be considered. That's the overriding guideline there. However, there is no requirement for storefronts on the corner of 128th. They were simply suggested as part of the overall guidelines, but not a requirement. So I understand that that will frustrate the appellants, but it is not a requirement. And the city's approval of the design as submitted is appropriate. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Kroll. All right, on to Mr. Eckert.
Thank you, Examiner. Main Street Property Group, the applicant asked that you uphold the Design Review Board decision with the conditions imposed by the Design Review Board. I'd like to second what the city just mentioned. These are design guidelines, not mandatory obligations. With regards to the page 21 design guideline, which is Respondent Exhibit 14, right behind us here, we've hit this repeatedly. This only applies when there's a retail and active use frontage. It's inapplicable here because we chose an urban edge. There's nothing to interpret. We don't need to look at how the staff has applied this. Just the plain language of the statute through statutory interpretation says this does not apply. There's a colon at the beginning of that bullet, and where it says storefronts have to apply, that follows the colon. So that statute has to be read together and as a whole. The appellant raised some issues in the design packets. The design packets did not include the first bullet point there that has the colon. It just put in streets and public space should enliven storefronts. Well, the reason why that was in there is the Design Review Board wanted to know how 85th Street would work. So the architect wanting to work and be collaborative and cooperative with the Design Review Board put it in and responded what was going to happen. If you look at the exhibits and go back and watch the Design Review Board meetings, all 6 hours or so of it, there was a lengthy discussion, like more than an hour, on the live-work uses along 85th. The board knew exactly what was going to be happening along 85th. They looked at the design guidelines, they approved the project. So, you know, this all works as a whole. The way the station area works is you choose your frontage type, then your frontage type determines what guidelines are applicable. We chose the urban edge along 85th. You heard from the city, you heard from the applicant that the urban edge does not require any commercial use here. The zoning code does not require any commercial use here, and no commercial use is proposed. Appellant has not presented any expert witness or any witness whatsoever to counter the city or the architect's testimony on this item. And for that reason, we'd ask you uphold the Design Review Board decision. Lastly, the Main Street Property Group sincerely appreciates you moving from the condition to accepting the proposed stipulation. Thank you on that front.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Eckert. All right, Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Mr. Albrecht, Mr. Eckert, city staff. With all due respect, the city's interpretation of these design guidelines is they had a lot of testimony today that these guidelines are supposed to be read as a whole. But when you read them as a whole, including the policies and the specific intents listed in the design guidelines, the intents to create a mixed-use walkable city, and you can't do that without mixed-use developments. You can't just ignore all of the guidelines and the policies and the requirements in these design guidelines that say you have to have active storefronts. You can't just ignore them. The applicant knows that because in their responses, they specifically represented to the city that there are storefronts and there just aren't. They've conceded there is no commercial space in here. This would be the only development in the entire corridor, probably in perpetuity, that doesn't have a single square foot commercial space on 85th. It's going to be an outlier, and there's a reason the design guidelines are drafted the way they are. So respectfully, we would ask you to either reverse or condition the Design Review Board's approval on requiring commercial space on 85th. Thank you.
Okay. I'm just not used to appeal hearings being so brief and to the point. This has been a nice change, actually, to get this done in a couple hours. I mean, it is a very narrow issue and something that I'll be looking at very closely. I'm glad that we kind of revisited the plaza issue, even though that was addressed in my decision. There was no motion for reconsideration, but all the parties argued it, and I think that's a good thing. So I'll take a second look at that as well. And also, of course, you know, the best part is that you were all able to agree on the sort of the Halverson issue. As a hearing examiner doing this for the last 30 years, I think there's three sets of case law that I repeat over and over again. The one most repeated is Nigrium and Habitat Watch, which says you can't revisit decisions that have already been made. The second most is Lejeune and Exendine, which says that examiners don't have the authority to invalidate city ordinances. And then the third, surprisingly, is the Halverson case, which there isn't a year that goes by that it doesn't come up. Usually the cities are the one that come up with the recommended conditions that say, you know, you can't clear until this property issue has been resolved. It's usually in the plat context. This is a little different. That it's an easement context, and I know in the Mr. Levitt's declaration, he's saying this has never come up before. But you know, the thing you have to understand about Halverson is, it only applies if the dispute is so contentious that it's actually in court already. Because you can't just stop every project where someone walks in and says, "Oh, I have a disagreement with the property line." You know, I mean, that would just be subject to massive abuse. But if somebody actually files a claim, and in this case, it was actually the applicant that did so. So that I think is sufficient evidence to show that there's a reasonable possibility that the project site won't be developed as planned, and then the city has a concern at that point that there might be some unnecessary clearing and grading that's going on. So that's why the cities tend to, you know, put these conditions. But as I said, it's usually for plats with an adverse possession claim. This is just a very unique circumstance where it's an easement circumstance, you know. And so, like I said, I'm glad that everyone was able to agree on something, so we don't need to try to break some new ground on this particular issue. But beyond that, you know, it's a very interesting issue. I mean, it does look, I mean, like I said, I did the site visit today. It is a little unique to have, you know, all residential there, but it's also very unique to argue that design guidelines dictate use, you know, as I think, as Mr. Levitt said, the zoning code dictates use. And I'm going to look at some of the, you know, the code provisions he mentioned that kind of show that you know, once the zoning code sets the use, that's the use you're allowed to have. So anyway, very interesting issue. It's a pleasure working with everybody. Really good arguments made by everybody. And like I said, nice, efficient process today. So I'll get to work and get my decision out next couple of weeks. So thanks. I'll have a good rest of the day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.